The idea was brought forward at a continuity conference, what we call a continuity conference, which involved student government representatives from Western Canada, from Manitoba through to British Columbia. The idea was put forward during the plenary session at the conference and received unanimous support ultimately, and UBC was delegated the responsibility for the coordination of the national referendum.
Okay, now, Christine, you have quite a bit to do with this now. Which universities have been invited to participate?
Well, all the universities across Canada have been invited to participate. So far, we've received positive replies from the University of Alberta, Brock University in Ontario, University of Calgary, Dalhousie University, Memorial University in Newfoundland, Mount St. Vincent University, I don't know where that is, University of New Brunswick in New Brunswick, University of Victoria, and University of Winnipeg, and Simon Fraser University as well.
Are there any big universities you'd like to see included in there that have not replied so far?
University of Toronto, York University. We've received absolutely nothing from either Montreal or Ontario.
And why do you suppose that might be? Do you have any idea? Just that they're lazy?
No, I think it's a little more than that.
A little more conservatism back east?
No, it's not conservatism. It's more political game playing than anything else.
Okay, now the question as it is simply...
Are you in favor of the legalization of cannabis? Yes, no.
And what's going to happen with these results? You're going to compile statistics, I would guess, from each university?
Well, hopefully what we want to do is put them all together and then go to the federal government with them, both the Monroe and Turner, and ask for more on the basis of this statistics. We'll sort of have a basis for a fairly strong lobby, we hope. It's a little hard to predict. But if the statistics give us the results we're hoping for, we'd go to the federal government and ask for a moratorium on arrests and convictions in relation to cannabis offenses until such time as the Dane Commission report has been completed.
Yeah, the reason this idea was brought forward last August was that a lot of the delegates to the conference felt that since the interim report of the Ladain Commission had been made public, the government had really used this as a bit of a cushion, as a bit of leverage, so that they would have to do nothing, at least until the final report came forward. And while there's been an awful lot of discussion in public and private about the issue, we felt that it was very important that something be done to refocus the public eye on this issue, on this particular issue. And that's why the idea was brought forward.
Right. There was a conference on drugs out here in early September. What was the result of that? Was that sponsored by the Ladain Commission?
No, it was sponsored by the Extension Department at UBC, and they brought Ladain himself out and several members of the commission. It was basically a meeting of groups concerned with the drug problem. There was everything there from ex-Calais and Parents Anonymous to people from Kool-Aid. So you sort of have very opposite views of drugs, and it was mainly to voice criticisms of the Ladain report, to make the Ladain report people aware of what the sort of public opinion was, what the attitudes were now, whether they changed any, what were the attitudes toward the report, what were people satisfied with, what were people dissatisfied with. I don't think they gained anything from that conference, quite frankly. Except that, well, I didn't really, I mean, it was very interesting to hear some mother get up and say how she hated drugs, and then some guy with long hair freak get up from Kool-Aid and say how they were cool, but I don't see how profitable it was.
It's mainly an emotional.
It wasn't emotional, it was just something that everybody already knew.
Yeah.
That is, that certain people were against it, certain people were for it, and I think most people by now have made up their minds, and I don't think it's at the stage where you're going to convert anybody.
When will the referendum be made known, or do you expect to have the results in when?
Well, the referendum is being held on the 28th of October. Hopefully, we'll have the results by all of the results here in UBC and compiled sometime at the latest by the second week of November.
There may be a problem. There may be a problem really in trying to run this as a national thing, and for the reason really that I think that Christine outlined. the political hassling that goes on among little student, you know, student government regimes. The Eastern universities are very reluctant to involve themselves with an activity that a large Western university like UBC is taking the lead in. And that's really quite a regrettable situation, because if, because of that, the referendum can't be held nationally in the sense that we don't get a wide degree of participation, it really weakens the impact of our presentation to the federal government. Now, at the Continuity Conference, we decided that regardless of whether or not the Eastern universities gave us a wide measure of support, we would go on with the idea in Western Canada. And that is the case. But as I say, its impact is very much lessened by the non-participation of the Eastern campuses. And at this point, we've got to give these schools, I guess, at least another week. If the response isn't vastly improved by that time, we'll have to consider exactly how we want to handle it.
What universities were present at the Continuity Conference? Was it a national?
No, it's a Western. It's a Western universities conference. Everything west of Manitoba.
And I was wondering if the the Eastern universities were there.
No, this
if
was.
If they were, they probably. I would expect them.
What happened?
Expect them to support it.
After we made this decision at the Western meeting, a number of the people who attended the Western conference went down east for a conference being hosted by the federal government, actually, with regards to travel. And at that time, the idea was put forward, of the national idea was put forward. Christine was at that conference and could probably tell you more about it.
Well, you know, John sort of summed it up quite nicely, the fact that we went back east to Ottawa and that was a national conference, and the idea was put forward to the different university presidents.
Did you get any kind of an initial reaction there?
Yeah, at that point we did, but then again, the big schools weren't there. University, U of T wasn't there, McGill wasn't there. Not represented as schools, anyway.
If
there was somebody from McGill there, but it wasn't anybody of any importance.
If we can sort of...
elitist.
Well, you know, I mean, the kid just said, geez, that's a fantastic idea. He was some council member.
If we could get away from marijuana for a second, we're almost into another area now, about a national student coordinating body again, like CUS used to be, or attempted,
John's baby.
Purported to be.
John's going on a power trip.
Hardly. I got dropped in my lap. What would you like to know about
it?
Well, there seems to be quite a dichotomy between Eastern and Western universities when they try to organize along something like this, which you'd think they'd have a common basis, surely, between universities of the West and universities of the East, something like cannabis.
Well, yeah, that's...
You know, and they can't even get together on that. I'm just wondering if there is any hope for a national student union again. Certainly, you'd like to have a national lobbying body.
Yeah, I think you've hit on a real problem. You've hit the nail on the head. I know Tony Hodge, our president, and myself and Christine have spoken about this, talked together. Large resemblance to the former national union CUS. What we are more interested in is some sort of a national coordinating group which will deal with specific student issues. Now, perhaps the cannabis issue isn't the one that will form a common denominator that are going to bring the unions together, but we feel there are critical issues, particularly within the realm of education, issues, you know, everything from curriculum right down the line, that students can come together on, map out particular strategies, and deal, as I say, with those problems that can best be handled by a national organization, and take a very much problem-oriented approach rather than establishing your superstructure and then deciding what the hell you're supposed to be doing.
Sound very vehement about the whole thing.
The response, I may add, that the person that is actually trying to get the national conference going and organized is George Kushminder, External Affairs at University of Alberta. And he tells me that the response so far has been relatively good. And the idea now is there's AUCC conference, that's Association of Universities and Colleges of Canada, in Winnipeg in the first few days of November, at which all the presidents from the different universities will be attending, and the idea is to try and get them together at some point during that, just prior to that conference, to talk to them about it and to hold a national conference over the Christmas holiday.
What was the problem basically with CUS? I know everyone talked about this back last fall when it finally folded up. Too much bureaucracy and too much of an office staff that had to be maintained in Ottawa to get things going?
Yeah, that's part of it. My own assessment of the CUS downfall is that in large measure the organization had lost touch with the people who formed its constituents, the students. It purported to be a national union of students, not a national union of student unions, and there's a very obvious difference between the two. But if in fact it was to be that national union of students, it very rarely went to those students and asked them how they felt about particular policy decisions that the organization made. As I say, I think that tied in with this was the massive bureaucracy that CUS had established. So finally, you had this ideological rift which had developed in the organization, a strong left movement and a right-wing movement as well. It seemed to be getting carried along in the sweep of things by the left. And this thing finally came to a head. Actually, in 1965, you had the University of Alberta withdraw because they didn't like the political orientation of CUS. And then in the next few years, more and more organizations began holding referendums on their campuses. And then last year, or I guess about a year and a half ago, the dam broke and the floodwaters went over the dam, and all sorts of referendums were held on campuses, and the CUS people spent the bulk of their time just trying to defend the organization as it then existed. So what happened was that students on the individual campuses at last had a chance to say what they thought about the organization. And they obviously thought they weren't getting their money's worth, and they obviously felt that the policies of CUS did not reflect their own personal beliefs. And that, to my way of thinking, is the essential reason or reasons why the organization fell apart.
It simply became a debating society for Marxists.
Yes.
That's all it was.
Very true.
What kind of a new national student union could we look for then, if one were to be formed?
I think it would have to be a rather loose union. It would be a union of student unions, as John pointed out. Sort of loosely structured and oriented on a project basis. That is, you would get together to work on a specific project, be it student financing, academic planning or whatever, something like that in that realm, and get together on specific projects, not on the basis of chartering flights to Europe and this kind of thing. It would be a political union, and would have to be very loosely structured.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add on that?
Well, no, I think Chris's assessment is correct. I would emphasize the point about it being a political organization. See, CUS attempted to be both a political organization and a service one. And ultimately what happened was that the services, such as the charter flight, the availability of European travel cards through CUS, that formed the backbone of the defense of CUS when it came down to the campus referendums. But in fact, it had let those services slip, and what has now developed are two service organizations, one Western Student Services based here in Vancouver, the other a comparable organization in Eastern Canada. So that's fine. The services are being very amply taken care of. And what we're dealing with now is a strictly political union. And because of that fact, because it has got to be political, it may be very, very difficult to come to any common denominator and operate in any sort of effective manner.
I think we've covered that topic fairly adequately. I should point out this is going to Interior.
It's good for you, baby.
Thank you, Mr. McLaughlin, for your Illinois Speed Press.